long and healthy life.
Each and every show here on America Tonight, we go inside the Beltway with Talk Radio News. Jeff Holtzman joins us this time around. Jeff, I won't hold it against him, is a Washington Redskins fan. A tough season for the Redskins, but all of you know I'm an Eagles fan because we do nail the score each week, and it's been a rough year for Eagles fans, the so-called dream team. So as much as I want to gig you about the Redskins, Jeff, I can't do it.
Well, you know, we pretty much hold it against ourselves, us Redskins fans, and there's nothing much we can do, Kate. We're trapped for an eternity. That's why I turn my focus to politics these days.
Politics is like sports, though, don't you think? It's the us's and the them's, the Democrats and the Republicans. Oh, if there was only another option, a third party. There's a lot of similarities between sports and politics. As somebody who's done both, you wouldn't believe it how much there is. And you know, because you're in this game, too.
Well, I tell you what, Kate, there's a situation going on right now with the presidential cycle that reminds me a lot of being a Redskins fan. And right now, as a Redskins fan, the backup quarterback is always the most popular guy in town, whether it's John Beck or Rex Grossman. And I think the same can be said if you look at the Republican contenders for president. Herman Cain was sort of the backup, the backup quarterback as we sort of went, got into things and the campaign got underway this summer. And he all of a sudden, he's on the field now as the starter. He is basically the front runner. We're near the top of most national polls. A new Gallup poll that came out at the top of this week showed him at 21%, tied with Mitt Romney. He's still trucking, although these allegations against him, we'll see how it affects him. He held a press conference earlier today in which he flatly denied the charges against him. Yesterday, of course, a woman named Sharon Bielek, who had worked under him at the National Restaurant Association, said that Cain had tried to grope her back in 1997 after a meeting for dinner in which they discussed Cain helping, you know, find her a new job. And today he responded to that, said that he didn't even know who Bielek was. He said that he has never harassed anybody. He's being falsely accused. He said he could only recall of one incident, and that was regarding a woman named Karen Coffer, who said that Cain had acted inappropriately toward her in his office. And Cain said the only thing he did was tell her that she reminded him of his wife in terms of her height. So that's Herman Cain's story. I think he's trying to put it past him. His news conference today was largely an attempt to sort of bury the thing. We'll have to see if any more women come forward in the coming days, and if so, how that affects him in the poll.
Yeah, no kidding. Here's what I loved about what he said. He did say this. He said he would absolutely, absolutely take a lie detector test. That tells you something.
Yes, it does. I think there was a caveat there. I think he said something, you know, like if he absolutely has to or something like that. He said, you know, he doesn't believe he has to at this moment. But I mean, the fact that he goes on record saying that he'd be okay with that is
sure.
Is very telling. And you know, I think at this point, He's all in. I mean, either he did it or he didn't do it, but he's definitely all in defending himself. There's no way. I would put the odds of him reversing his story at this point at slim to none. And if these allegations are true, so you know, Herman Cain is he's in it to win it politically. He says he did nothing wrong, and you know, we'll see.
I agree with you. He's not stepping away from this. There's absolutely no way he's going to do that. A big day in Washington, Fast and the Furious, anyway, that boggled program that, you know, with the drug, I went out with the drug, with the gun running, and the Attorney General, Eric Holder, they're chomping at the bit to have a conversation with him. And, of course, that happens, and right off the get-go, he has a statement, which is typical, and says this will never happen again, it shouldn't have happened, that kind of thing. Do you think they're not going to let this go with Holder, I don't think?
No, I don't think so either. I think Chuck Grassley, who's the top Republican on the Senate Judiciary Committee, and Daryl Issa, who leads the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee, I think they're going to keep going and investigating. I think there's more to this story. And, you know, when it broke, when the whistle was blown on the program, you know, from that time until now, we know that there were more guns and weapons that were originally reported missing. Mm-hmm. There are more people who have been killed. As you know, a fallout from this, and obviously I'm talking about all the deaths that have happened in Mexico. where they've, you know, found guns that have been traced back to this Operation Fast and Furious program. Eric Holder said today that he, you know, he said that he might have been informed about the program earlier than he originally told lawmakers back this summer. This summer, he said he had learned, you know, a few weeks back or something like that. Today, he said it might have been a few months. So there's a time discrepancy. He's not exactly being accurate with what he knew, or when he knew, I should say. But he did say that he is not to blame for this. He blamed, rather, the agents and the officials at the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms for not having the proper, you know, not using the proper thinking and not having the proper oversight of this program.
Yeah, and I think, and what you pointed out, especially with ISA, I don't think ISA, I don't think the Government Reform Committee chair, ISA, is gonna, he's gonna keep going after this. There's no question about it until he runs out and he can't do it anymore. And he thought for sure that Holder should have been fired for incompetence. And now, like you just said, he's confused on timelines. We'll see where that ends up. Speaking of timelines, the Super Committee, are they gonna meet their deadline? What's the scuttlebutt in Washington?
Well, if you're asking me for my prediction, I would say that they will come out with a plan. But the question is, will it meet that $1.3 trillion threshold that they're being tasked to arrive at? And I think that that's very much in doubt right now. In fact, Mitch McConnell earlier today suggested that the White House is actually pulling for the committee to fail. And he says success from the committee would step on the White House's storyline of Republican obstructionism. So, you know, McConnell has said some very politically charged things this year. Obviously, he's taken heat from Democrats for saying earlier this year in an interview that Republicans' number one goal is to get President Obama out of office next year. But I think there's already backdoor attempts right now going on in these private discussions between members on this committee to cancel these automatic cuts that would take place if the committee fails to do its job. So, you know, these cuts that would happen to the domestic budgets and the defense budgets, they might not happen. And if they do happen, there's a lot of talk that they wouldn't go into effect until 2013, thereby giving Congress wiggle room all of next year to try and figure out a way to mitigate the damage.
Yeah, do you believe it? We're talking about a year, and here we go with the elections. It'll be interesting because 2012 with the Republicans, as you were gaming it for us in the beginning, saying that Kaine was the backup quarterback, who now in the Gallup poll, 21% with Romney. How about it? What's it going to look like a year from now? It's going to be interesting, don't you think?
Well, I mean, I think this could be one of the most remarkable elections of our lifetime, certainly of my lifetime. I mean, you know, I think I would be hesitant to discount President Obama right now. And I know his approval ratings are hovering in the 40 percentile range. But you have to keep in mind that Republicans have yet to, you know, galvanize behind one candidate. It might be Mitt Romney. It might not. But if you look at Romney, his polling numbers have steamed to his ceiling, you know, in the mid-20s. And he hasn't really even received a bump from the Kaine controversy over the last week or so. So that's kind of telling. And Obama, he's got that army of fundraisers. He's raising billions of dollars. He's holding fundraisers where the bare minimum ticket is $18,000. So he's going to have a lot of money, a lot of ammunition.
Yep, I agree. Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News, thanks so much.
Thanks, Kate.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what Pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
When making important financial decisions, you should always know the facts. That's why Midas Resources is willing to pay you to read the facts. Midas Resources, a team of hand-picked financial specialists with decades of financial experience who are ready to provide you with state-of-the-art, up-to-date financial services. Midas Resources offers a host of services and stands behind their products. In fact, if you call and order their free Midas report, Midas Resources will pay you. This detailed report will provide you with financial history on the safest and most profitable areas to invest in. If you read the report, Midas Resources will send you a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar. So what are you waiting for? Get the facts and call Midas Resources toll-free at 888-292-2709. That's 888-292-2709. And remember, if you read the Midas report, you'll receive a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
The journey starts beneath the stars. I stand alone. I put all my fears to all these years swept away the known. No, I want this time to be near you. No, gray skies ever turn.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, Coast to Coast, and all those spots in between. Lise Wheel joins us now. She's the author of a new thriller, Waking Hours, and, of course, a Fox News legal analyst. Lise, big story, of course, continues to be Herman Cain. He talks today, denies all the allegations that are out there. What's your take on it?
Well, I think the problem for Herman Cain from the beginning has been that he didn't have his people sort of organized. He didn't have his story straight. Whatever the story is, whether he did right or wrong, we don't know that. That'll all come out. But that he had, by his own admission, about 10 days before the story came out, the first story with the first three women. And he really didn't seem very organized. It was, you know, I don't recollect. I don't remember. That does not bode well for him.
No, I don't think so either. Do you see him slipping in some polls, but in others he's kind of holding his own? Do you think the bubble's just going to burst?
He's holding his own. I think he's just neck and neck with Mitt Romney. So, you know, he's gotten tons of money in this last week. But I think if people feel at a certain point that he's not telling the truth, it's all about telling the truth, you know.
Yeah.
We can all deal with things. Nobody's perfect. But to not tell the truth, and I'm casting no aspersions on Mr. Cain, but it does look like he's obfuscating, and that's never good.
Would it have been better to just get in front of this right from the very beginning?
Absolutely, absolutely. Just come out and tell the truth, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. You know,
yeah.
I did something wrong many, many years ago. I apologized for it. I've made amends, or I didn't, you know, but at least come out and just and be completely honest with people.
Sure. Michael Jackson, that big case, of course, in his death, Dr. Conrad Murray, he is found guilty of involuntary manslaughter. Now the judge will sentence him at the end of the month.
Right.
Did you think this was a good verdict, a solid verdict?
I thought it was a solid verdict. I absolutely did. I think the prosecution proved their case beyond a reasonable doubt that Conrad Murray had no intent to kill Michael Jackson. He didn't mean to. Why would he? He was getting paid $150,000 a month from him.
Yeah.
But that his actions were so not even negligent. I mean, just so in such complete disregard for human life that the end result was that Michael Jackson died.
Yeah, absolutely. Does he get the 4 years, or how does that play out?
Well, the 4 years, that's the max you're referring to. That's the max sentence he could get. This judge is pretty strict. I mean, he, after the conviction yesterday, remanded him, Conrad Murray, to jail and wouldn't even let him go out on bail. So that tells me that the sentence will be fairly, you know, strict in line with that. But California has a new law that says if you're a nonviolent offender, which is to be considered nonviolent offense, that, you know, you can serve most of your time in county jail. So that could be parsed down to maybe a year or even less.
Yeah, that's probably likely, too. Who knows? Occupy Wall Street, you know, you're there in New York City and, of course, in other spots across the U.S., but in New York, that's the big one. Are the protests too far over to one side or not a side? Or what do you think the impact is?
It's, you know, they're now saying that they're going to be protesting until 2025. So the impact may be going on for a long time. It's getting cold here in New York, though. So I hope they have, you know, warm blankets.
There you go. Hey, so tell us about your book. You're always pumping out books. What is this, your 12th book probably?
No, six. Come on, silly Kate.
Okay, six books.
Six book, but it's the first one in this East Salem trilogy, first of three, set in East Salem, New York, with a forensic psychiatrist. She teams up. She's very smart. She teams up with a former NFL player. He's got an interesting backstory. And they team up together to solve a murder mystery. And while they're doing that, they realize that something very supernatural is going on in this idyllic little town. Things aren't what they seem to be. It's good versus evil, angels versus demons. It's a good read. It's fun. It's got some humor to it. And a little creepy, too, but it's a good, clean read as well.
All right, Lee Sweel, thanks so much for joining us on America Tonight, and we'll look for you, and we'll look for that book as well. Thanks.
Sounds great, Kate. Thanks.
All right, coming up at the bottom of the hour, we're going to take a big left turn as we go to Hollywood and talk to our pal Stephen Showhead about comebacks. It's funny because in talking about Herman Cain, is it a mini comeback for him if he gets a bounce in the polls after what's now happened in the past week, and he continues to insist that he didn't do anything. He didn't harass anyone. You heard what Jeff Holtzman had to say to us at the top of the show, but it's the caning of America, so to speak, because it's the story that you just can't get away with or get away from, not so much away with, but away from. So we're going to talk about that at the tail end of the hour as well as we mosh it all up in odds and ends. But before we get there, there's something that happened. You know, often, for some reason, it's probably because you think about it, you're the leader of the free world or one of the leaders of the free world, and you're necessarily not always thinking, oh, I'm on camera, oh, I'm mic'd up. Certainly it's happened to anchors and all kinds of people who have lost their careers, have problems with open mics, that kind of stuff. And there was a crazy open mic gaffe that happened in a moment between President Obama and the man behind France, who Nicolas Sarkozy, the French president, who let Benjamin Netanyahu have it. They started gossiping, and really it was Sarkozy started gossiping to Obama about Netanyahu. And, of course, it's the little blurb that's made it all over the place. And now what's happened is a lot of people are commenting on what was said and why didn't Obama say more and jump in and defend Netanyahu. Sarkozy reportedly said to Obama, Netanyahu, I can't stand him. He's a liar. Obama then said, you are sick of him, but I have to work with him every day. Oh, my. The White House won't comment about any audio on that thing, but they're not confirming the gaffe, but it's definitely there. It was definitely heard. There's no question about that. So what happened was the two of them were sitting there, and there was a hot mic, and it picked it up. Reporters heard Obama asking Sarkozy to help persuade the Palestinians to stop their efforts to gain UN recognition of a Palestinian state. And that's when Sarkozy jumped on the line that Obama said and went on to decapitate verbally Netanyahu and say that he's a liar, that I can't stand him. Woo. So the comments that have come out since then, it was easy for Senator John McCain to jump on this. He was on Fox and Friends in the morning, and he said, listen, I've known Netanyahu since the 60s. I've known him for a very long, long time, and this is certainly not helpful to have that out there, but it's indicative of some of the policies toward Israel that this administration has been part of. So this was kind of a nasty thing that happened by accident. And we've seen things like this happen before. There was the incident with George Bush when he F-bombed a New York Times reporter who was saying to somebody, I can't stand the, you know, that guy, F, whatever. And there was a mic that was open and it caught that. I mean, it's probably happened to every single person that's been in office. There certainly have been some famous gaffes, but this is the latest. And because of everything else that's going on, a little bit of this got lost in the sauce. And I think it's important. It's important because this gets back to Netanyahu. He'll probably make his own behind-the-scenes snarky comments over Sarkozy, what Sarkozy said. And the situation that Israel's in, like McCain said, it is in a way indicative of what's now happened with this administration. And there's Obama leaning on Sarkozy to shut the Palestinians up, to tell them not to go after this Palestinian state because it puts the United States in a pickle. For sure. The president, you know, is saying that he's very firm that there have been efforts to achieve the UN membership by the Palestinians, that they were premature. So he has been on record saying that. But now he's also part of this gaffe that made the rounds that is not helpful in any way, certainly in dealing with Israel, because then Netanyahu thinks, well, you know, this jerk, he doesn't come to my aid when this guy is taking a chunk out of me, calling me a liar, the French president calling him a liar. Just one of the many things coming out of the G20 that was unintended. Just a sidebar swipe at the tail end of that thing. All right, speaking of swiping, we're going to trade politics for movies and comebacks. That's coming up. If you hang around, you don't want to miss it. On the flip side, with me, Kate Delaney, here on America Tonight.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Jason Lewis here. With the holidays just around the corner, be sure to consider the greatest gift you can give to your friends and family: peace of mind. That's why I choose WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com offers delicious ready-made meals like cheesy lasagna, savory stroganoff, and pasta alfredo that are packaged for freshness in individual metal Mylar pouches and carry a 25-year shelf life. And they're ready to eat in minutes. Simply add hot water. Request a free entree sample today at WiseFoodStorage.com. And for a limited time, get free shipping and 10% off of your order. That's right, a free entree tray, free shipping, and 10% off any order. Just use promo code Lewis. Call 855-FOODWISE. That's 855-366-3947. Or visit wisefoodstorage.com. That's Wise, W-I-S-E, foodstorage.com. Gourmet emergency food at the best price and the greatest gift you can give to the ones you love this holiday season.
Smokers, are you still smoking traditional cigarettes? Are you still smelling up your clothes and car interior, staining your teeth, and getting ashes everywhere? Why? When you could be smoking or vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replacement cartridges, you'll get all the satisfaction of smoking, but no smoking hazards. Choose from a wide variety of our new American-made Vapriate e-liquid flavors at LeCig.com, spelled L-E-C-I-G.com, or call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker. Warning: e-cigs may contain nicotine, an addictive substance known to the state of California to cause birth defects or cancer. Please be aware of the risks associated with e-cigs prior to use. You must be 18 years or older to purchase.
You can't argue with success. And many people have found great success in fighting back colds and flu viruses with Ali-C, the world's best garlic extract. So now, it's time to get even more success with the other great quality natural products from Affinity Health Products. Like C-Energy Liquid Vitamins, Lose and Snooze, and the One Day Diet. Or Human Growth Hormone Support, Menopause Specialist for Women, and Joint Specialist. See these and many other quality Affinity Health Products for men and women online at AffinityHealthProducts.com. That's A-F-F-I-N-I-T-Y HealthProducts.com. Or call in your orders at 877-888-7126. That's 1-877-888-7126. Trust your health to the makers of Ali-C, the world's best garlic extract. Affinity Health Products, the finest and most innovative natural health products available.
Each week here on America Tonight, the author of Hollywood Story, short entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movie, Stephen Shohat, joins us to toss around a lot of interesting tales of the past and current stars in Hollywood. We are just always fascinated by what goes on there. And this is a good subject that he suggested this time around, comebacks. We like comebacks. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't, especially when it comes to movies. My favorite comeback is John Travolta. He made a big comeback thanks to a video store guy, and you know who that is now. Think about it. This is a great trivia question, Pulp Fiction. I know he knows the answer. Steven, how are you?
Oh, that's great. Do you want me to tell that story, or will I be
Tell that story, because I love his comeback.
Oh yeah, well it was Quentin Tarantino is a very decisive when it comes to what actors that he wants to use. You know, has delayed movies, say on behalf of Uma Thurman when she was pregnant, for example. Really wanted John Travolta for the movie Pulp Fiction, the Vincent character. And he sent the script to him, and John Travolta came to meet Tarantino in his apartment in West Hollywood. So Travolta's knocking on the door and is looking around and saying, oh, this is strange. And Tarantino answers the door. He's, hey, come on in, man. You want a beer? Yeah, great. Hey, Quentin, you're not going to believe this, man, but I used to live here. And Tarantino says, I know, man. That's why I moved into the place. I know everything about you, man. I love you. And then he showed Travolta his Welcome Back Cotter collection. He had all this memorabilia. He had the Welcome Back Cotter board game. And Travolta was saying, oh, my goodness, you know, when I was on that show, I was so busy with, you know, my girlfriend Diana. She was dying and Saturday Night Fever and all this stuff. And I was really focused. And this was all periphery stuff to me. I never paid attention to it. Well, let's play the game, man. And they really bonded. And Miramax, the Weinsteins were not that enthusiastic because Travolta had had a string of failures lately. And Tarantino said, are you kidding, man? I walk down the street in West Hollywood with John and traffic stops. I want John, man. And he had enough clout because of Reservoir Dogs being a hit to get Travolta into that film. And of course, Travolta ended up getting nominated for Best Actor, even though he lost to Tom Hanks that year. But it was a great comeback for him.
Yeah, no kidding. And do you think Hollywood loves a comeback story?
I do. I think people, you know, are basically nice. I mean, that's funny, an element. You know, they always say that on Mondays people go to the Grill in Beverly Hills, the Grill on the Alley, right by Rodeo Drive, and there's always talk like, when somebody is saying, oh, I'm sorry your movie flopped, they're really rooting for you to fail. And maybe there's an element of that going on, but I think people really do like to see people come back. I think the fans like it too. I think one thing that can help is if you play somebody nice on screen, for me personally, I really enjoyed Winona Ryder in the Star Trek movie. I thought she was really nice as Spock's mother and came off really sincere. And I'm thinking, oh, Winona Ryder, I haven't seen you in a while. I was kind of rooting for her in that film. So she does seem to have started to come back a little bit with The Dilemma and a little bit racier role in the Black Swan. But I think, you know, playing somebody nice who's likable can really help you come back and give you a better opportunity.
Yeah, good point. Robert Downey Jr., that's a good comeback story. A lot of people were rooting for him, huh?
Yeah, one of the big keys to that was his friendship with Mel Gibson when they made the movie Air America together, because it was Mel Gibson who paid for Robert Downey Jr. to get insured in The Singing Detective when he basically couldn't get insured by anybody else. And the thing about Robert Downey Jr., before Ally McBeal, producers were always sort of amazed to read about his problems because they never happened on the film set. I mean, he was known for being on time and knowing all his lines and being absolutely professional. So he never let anybody down. So I think people were really rooting for him. And it's a difference between him and Lindsay Lohan, because when Lindsay Lohan was in the movie a couple years ago, The Georgia Rules, the producers publicly made a statement about her lateness and about her partying. And William Macy, who's known as one of the most professional actors in Hollywood, publicly came out and criticized her. So when you get the reputation of being tough to work with, I think that makes maybe people a little less in your corner. But Robert Downey Jr. never had that problem. And of course, his talent, is so respected by everybody. So I think people really wanted him, even though, you know, there were all sorts of stories about him doing this and that. I think people really wanted him to come back, and obviously he has in a big time way with two franchises, Iron Man and Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah. You know, here's another one. Yeah, I agree. Here's another one from television, Neil Patrick Harris. This kid had a lot of legs on him, if you remember Doogie Howser. Then he pops up on TV with a hit role eventually after time. And of course, Broadway. He's done a bunch on Broadway too. That's a pretty good story for a guy who, I want to say, he's in his 30s.
Right. You know what? I'm going to have to, I don't know that story by heart so much. So, I mean, I remember watching Doogie Howser all the time and obviously, you know, How I Met Your Mother has been a very, very successful show. I didn't realize was he really considered down and out for a while? Or?
I guess, yeah, because he hadn't popped up anywhere. So for the younger set, I think a lot of people remember him. Now, if we went old school, who's your favorite old school? Mine's Frank Sinatra.
Yeah, well, that's a great story, too. I mean, there's a guy who Frank Sinatra was the most hated star for the GIs during the Second World War. I mean, the idea of him being home singing to their girlfriends while they're off fighting just really, really rubbed them the wrong way. So after the war, when they came back, his career began to fade for whatever reason. Leaving his first wife was part of it. People definitely looked down on that. And he lost a lot of weight. There was a suicide attempt. He was telling his manager to pay people to come to his concerts. His voice was in terrible shape. And then he got the role in the movie From Here to Eternity. And, of course, that was such a legendary story. It became partly the basis for The Godfather, that there was all this mafia connections helping him to get into the movie. What really happened was that they went back and forth who should play the role in that movie. It was either Frank Sinatra or Eli Wallach, and one of the things the producers thought that the Frank Sinatra character was going to get beat up by Ernest Borgnine in the movie. So you have this really big guy picking on the little guy, and that would make Frank Sinatra sympathetic. And that, plus the fact that Ava Gardner was constantly on the phone begging to Harry Cohn, the head of Columbia Pictures, to give him an opportunity, that really got him back in the good light, and he agreed to do it. Frank Sinatra actually offered to pay to be in that movie, and Harry Cohn, paid him much below what he would have made years before when he was a hotter star. But you know what happened? He won the Academy Award that night or that year. He dropped his children off and he went for a walk in Beverly Hills, and some Beverly Hills policemen came by, didn't recognize him, or at least pretended they didn't, and said, "What are you doing with that statue?" and actually took him in for questioning.
Really? How about that?
Yeah, really. I don't think it lasted too long. But maybe they were playing a joke. But anyway, that's the story of what happened that night. He won the Oscar. And then, of course, he was back in high gear. One of the things that happened, too, with these guys like Sinatra and some of the other performers was they found great success in Las Vegas because Las Vegas paid them cash under the table and gave them a share of the gambling receipts. And they loved Sinatra there because when he performed, I mean, the gamblers spent all night in the casino, whereas like if Elvis performed, for example, later on, his crowd tended to be go watch the show and go home. So Sinatra definitely had an advantage there.
Yeah. We only have a couple minutes left, but a lot of people like Drew Barrymore. That's a big success story, a big bounce back.
Yeah, and I think, again, playing likable characters in a lot of romantic comedies are going to get people on your side. She always had, people really rooting for her. I mean, obviously Steven Spielberg was a great help to her, working with her in the movie E.T. And I think everybody really felt bad for her situation. So I think getting the opportunity to be in the right movie roles and just being clean, I think that combined leads to more success. I really hate to see what's happening with Lindsay Lohan, to be honest with you. I thought The Parent Trap was only 13 years ago, 1998.
That's amazing.
I mean, it's just so shocking when you think about it. So hopefully, but it's probably not the right move to do photographs for Playboy, I think, even though she's going to make a lot of money on it.
Yeah, I agree with you. And, of course, with the family and everything else that's happened there. Stephen, always a delight. Yeah. We'll talk to you again next week. Author of Hollywood Stories, Short Entertaining Anecdotes about the Stars and Legends of the Movie. It's a great book. Pick it up. Thanks, Stephen.
You got it, Mary. I'm sorry, you got a cape, sorry.
That's all right. You have a good one. That's like me with the coffee. It's like me with the coffee. Thanks, Stephen. I have so much coffee that's why I start saying different things and I'm looking in different directions sometimes when I do some of my little sports segments that I end up taping during the day. Anyway, he's a great storyteller, and he comes on with us every single week, and this was a good one, I think. He's right. Lindsay Lohan, that's a sad story. That gets lost in it because it's all about the gossip and the nonsense and everything. But it wasn't too long ago when she was just an innocent young girl making her way in Hollywood. Herman Cain and other scandals next.
Ready for cold and flu season? Now's the time to get ready and save during the pre-winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Stock up on powerful, natural flu fighters like olive leaf extract, elderberry power, and grapefruit seed liquid. Don't forget your vitamin D3 this winter. Right now, HerbalHealer.com has 120 soft gels, 1,000 IUs, on sale for only $9. And remember, HerbalHealer.com offers eFoods Global products, delicious, premium, storable foods that contain no MSG, no trans fats, no GMO, and have a 25-year shelf life. Click the eFoods link on HerbalHealer.com and try eFoods storable meals for free. Bookmark HerbalHealer.com, then experience live chat, correspondence courses, and sign up for our free newsletter. As always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and hit the pre-winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic, happy, and wow, did the ladies love you. Now, you fall asleep on the couch, irritable, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male, a natural supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain healthy, normal levels. No injections, no appointments. With healthy testosterone levels, you can feel that energy again, that great outlook again, and yes, even a healthy sex drive. Right now, you can try Ageless Male risk-free. There's nothing to lose, guys. If you're a man who's noticed changes in your body, your mood, your sex life, call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male. Be the guy you used to be. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Don't wait another day. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Again, 1-888-246-0623.
Local Army Navy surplus stores are hard to find these days, but not military issue supplies. They're right here online at mainmilitary.com. That's right, just like the state, M-A-I-N-E, military.com. We have everything for true, total preparedness. MaineMilitary.com is not a typical website. It has much more than your old surplus store. Quality military-issue survival gear like canteens, mess kits, utensils, gas masks, filters, and chemical suits, magnesium fire-starting tools, strike anywhere, waterproof, and storm matches, first aid kits, splints, tourniquets, parachute 550 cord, military manuals, sandbags by the bale, and a huge Molly assortment of vests and pouches for every need. Call 207-989-6783, 207-989-6783, or visit MaineMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, military.com, the main name in military supply.
Everything you might try to do, that luck fella's got to hold on you. Losing money, about to lose your home, done lost your woman and everything.
Well, this officially will be the day after the 2012 elections. Do you believe it? A year away. Whew. Time flies, doesn't it? And, of course, we've been talking about politics pounding into the ground each and every night as to who's zooming who and who's going where. But the big sideshow, the circus, is definitely Herman Cain. And Herman Cain decided to talk about it. He did what I think, if I was one of his handlers, I would have had him do immediately. Get in front of the story. Get right out there. Especially if you're saying, listen, I don't know what people are talking about because it's not true. I'm telling you, this is me, here I am, take it or leave it. I would have said, boom, as soon as that Politico story broke, let's just do that, let's just get out there. So he does do that. There was a lot of Herman Cain all over the place, and with all of this pressure from other Republicans, and the fact that he still hasn't lost too much ground in some of the polls, he's trying to restore whatever nicks his reputation has taken, especially in light of the one accuser that came forward the other day who described vividly what her encounter was. He got in front of this finally, and here's what he had to say.
The charges and the accusations I absolutely reject. They simply didn't happened. These anonymous allegations are false, and now the Democrat machine in America has brought forth a troubled woman to make false accusations. As far as these accusations causing me to back off and maybe withdraw from this presidential primary race, ain't gonna happen. I have never acted inappropriately with anyone. Period.
All right, so you heard him loud and clear. He says, troubled woman, she comes forward, and, you know, I don't know what they're talking about, basically. And he's not going to step away. That's the main thing that you got from everything that he was talking about during the day and all the different shows that he popped up on, you know, tube-wise, television-wise. And he's not going to do it. So he's hanging on. He's going all the way through the process, I guess, unless his numbers completely slid off the table. That hasn't happened yet, but we don't know with these new polls coming out. In the Gallup poll, we talked about this earlier, he was at 21%, and Mitt Romney was at 20%, virtually tied. There were some want-to-be presidential Republican, fellow Republicans, who had their own thoughts on Kane and what's happened with him, including Mitt Romney. Here's what he had to say about some of the stuff that's been going around in the last week and a half.
I'm not going to say more than that. I don't want to suppose truth or lack of truth. I just think that it's important to recognize that a number of women have come forward with concerns. This woman's charges are particularly disturbing, and they're serious.
And then from Romney, you get a little bit of Newt.
Clearly, Herman Cain has to answer the charges. He has to explain what happened. He has to do so in a way that is convincing. And I think that that's unavoidable.
All right, and that's what he did, as you just heard, at least this time around. And I think that it's still going to, you know, there's still going to be stuff that's going to be flying around out there, but does it just disappear? You think of other politicians, for example, and I know this is the one we always draw, but the former governor of Arkansas, Clinton, when Bill Clinton was running, it was raining women everywhere. Stories about troopers bringing women to meet him. Remember that one? Remember Jennifer Flowers? And the fields were littered with these kind of stories, and the papers were printing them, and people were dogging him with questions about it. And that went away, and he became president. So he's pretty defiant, Kane, saying he's not dumping this race. I just wonder, out of the race, I wonder if when you listen to him, do you believe him? Do you think, hey, I think he's kind of blindsided by some of this? Or is he just a master at diffusing the situation? Either way, he did talk about it, no question. Somebody who didn't talk was Coach Joe Paterno. Wow, what a bombshell has dropped out of the sky and hit Penn State right between the eyes. Happy Valley is unhappy Valley right now because he is fighting for his job. And he's not getting a lot of support from Penn State's Board of Trustees because this sex abuse scandal just keeps getting bigger and bigger on the cover-up side. And it has to do with his former right-hand man, former assistant, one-time heir to the throne of Joe Paterno, Jerry Sandusky, and the stories make you sick. How you don't come forward to the cops and say anything, how you don't immediately get that out there is shocking to me. And shame on Coach Joe. I'm sorry. He had to have known something. He had to have known what was happening here. And it's obvious by what's starting to go on. He had a press conference scheduled and he canceled it. They say there's these ongoing legal circumstances, and that's why it was canceled. But Sandusky allegedly molested 8 boys from 94 to 2009. 2 administrators, we've already told you about these thugs, they stepped aside because they didn't tell anyone back in 2002. So think about those years and think about what happened in between with this guy who had a charity that funneled young boys through the doors called the Second Mile. Ridiculous. Now, as of late on Tuesday night, in fact, or just wrapped up just before we jumped on the air, the board at Penn State is saying it's going to appoint a special committee to investigate what they're calling the circumstances that resulted in the indictments of Sandusky, the athletic director, a guy named Tim Curley, and the VP, Gary Schultz. And once that committee gets together, then they're going to meet and have an extended meeting with Governor Tom Corbett, because he's going to attend that too. They're going to try to figure out who's to blame, who was responsible, what kind of mistakes happened so that, one, it doesn't happen again, but also who needs to go, I think, is, they're not saying that, but I think that's what it is. And will Joe Pa get cut out? I mean, will he be forced to resign, or will they just let him go? You know, I don't know. It's a mixed bag at Penn State. There's a lot of people that have been marching and screaming his name and holding up smartphones to take photos, light up the night air at Happy Valley. It looks almost like a concert, I'm told. So you got cops all over the place because of these many things that are breaking out. And his son decided he would talk. His son Scott said his father was disappointed over the decision by the president to cancel the news conference because he wanted to talk. He wanted to talk to the reporters, I guess to say, you know, I didn't know, or who knows. I don't know what he would have said. I don't want to put words in his mouth. But there were hundreds of fans that held a rally outside of the Paterno house. This is a guy who, 84 years old, a guy who's been a coach for a very, very long time, needless to say. Can you imagine? Paterno gets about $1 million, by the way, from the school. He's been the head coach for 46 years. He is Penn State. He is Penn State. 6 decades. Is it unlikely? Do you think it's unlikely that he didn't know what happened with Sandusky? Especially because he was so close to him. What are the odds that he was not informed as to what was going on by the other two people, especially, who are being prosecuted, like by the athletic director? How does that not get told to Joe Paterno? How does nobody, I mean, here's the biggest thing. How does nobody go to the cops? We're talking 10-year-old boys and teenagers. How does that happen? Immediately, the first thing you think is, you have to go to the cops. Anyway, here's a little slice of Paterno.
We are Joe! We are Joe! We are Joe!
And I want you!
Can't really tell you how much this means to me. All right, you guys, I've lived for this place. I've lived for people like you guys and girls.
We are Joe! We are Joe! We are Joe!
And I want you!
The kids who were victims whatever they want to say, I think we all have the same prayer for them because, you know, they were tough life when people do certain things to you.
All right, so you could have... It sounds like he's saying he didn't know much, but he didn't say that, just saying that it was tough on the kids and he thanked the crowd for supporting him. I think there's another shoe that's going to drop, though, at Penn State.